We're doing the Ramban's disputation, where we left off. The Ramban had been challenged with the question of how could Daniel be talking about the Mashiach, and he's not referring to the Mashiach, but rather a Jewish king. And Nachmanides answered, Koresh is also called Mashiach, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are called Mashiach, and we find the term Mashiach throughout Tanakh as references to different people who had positions of leadership, who were anointed. And then the Ramban said that when the Pasuk describes that it will be a number of days until the Mashiach comes, days in that pasuk refers to years. And to that, Peripul responds, Hinei amru chachamim ba'agada, Eilen yumaya yetiraya ma'inun, Eilu 45 yom shagoel nichsamim. The extra 45 days, what are they? They are the extra 45 days where the Redeemer will be covered from the Jewish people. Ma Moshe ha'goel ha'rishon niglav nichsamim, just like Moshe, the first Redeemer, was revealed. And then he got covered up from them. So too the last Redeemer will be revealed and then covered up from them. The Kevanches Kiru Yom, and being that our sages in the Medrash say that it's 45 days, so then they obviously understand that the verse in Daniel that speaks about 45 days is talking about days, not years. Hem yamim mamash velo shanim. Obviously it's a reference to days, not years. Amalti, so I replied, Amidrash tafas l'shon ha-katub. The Medrash was simply using the terminology of the Pasuk. V'skiro, 45 yamim. So the Medrash refers to them as 45 days, just like the Pasuk does. Shem shanim, where just like in the Pasuk it means years, so too in Chazal it means years. Kedami Ravanan, Mishnah Dekranakat, just as our sages often say, that the Mishnah, the Braisa, adopted the same terminology as the Pesukim. That's a common occurrence in all of Shas. Amar Peripul, she'en yudi ba'olam shelo yude ki pirush yom yom mamash. So Peripul said, there's no Jew in the world who wouldn't admit to me that the word day means a day literally, ela shu meshaneh dvarim kirtzono. But that man, he twists and he changes things at will. V'tzak lamelech, and so he yelled to the king, ve'viu yudi echad shematzu rishon, they brought in the first Jew they could find. V'shalu, and they asked him, ma yom bilshonchem? What does yom mean in your language? Amar, daya, day. So the Jew said, yom is a day. So that's his proof. The verse, Daniel says, 45 days, it means yom. Now, you'll notice that his response is very weak, because the Ramban brought numerous verses to prove that the word yom in Tanakh also means years. And he doesn't reply to those proofs. He's simply saying, oh, but the word yom means day. The Ramban brought him numerous proofs, and he doesn't have answers to those proofs. Yes?
As we have in Parashah this week, we have one day means one day means 1 year. But in Tehillim, we say one day is like 1,000 years in your eyes.
In these instances, we don't say one day means 1 year. Hashem says, Yom Lashana, for every day, they will be paid a year. And when David says to God, Kelef shanim beinecha ki yom etmol, by you, God, in your eyes, 1,000 years is like a day. That's not the same idea.
How do we take the sayings of David HaMelech as if it was really one day equals
a year? Because in Tanakh we see. In Tanakh we find throughout that a day is a year. All the time. It says, Yamim tiye gulato. You will be redeemed after a period of years. It says, Miyamim yamima. Every year the girls would go and weep over the daughter of Yiftah, Jephthah's daughter. In many places the word yom in Tanakh.
For it to be days.
Excuse me?
Where it would be impossible for it to be days.
There are many psukim. Look at what we saw last time. He gave examples, but fine. This point really is not critical. You want to accept the Ramban's interpretation, fine. You want to accept his interpretation, that still doesn't answer all the other questions that we've had. So, okay. Amalti ani, so I said, Adoni HaMelech, my master the king, Ayudi Azera Uiliot Shofet Min Peripul. That Jew you just brought in from the street, He could judge Peripul, that's fine. Avalomi many, but he can't be my judge. He's not going to decide for me what's right or wrong. Ki yom ne'emar b'lashon ha-katuv al zman, because the word yom in the terms of the Tanakh is a reference to a period of time. Kigon, I'll give you an example. It says, b'yom ha-koti chol b'chol b'eretz Mitzrayim. On the day I hit all the firstborn in Egypt. It wasn't by day, it was by night. What does it mean on the day I hit the firstborn in Egypt? It means the time I hit the firstborn in Egypt. And sometimes when we speak about days, we're really referring to years. And in this instance, the pasuk is talking about years. And the idea behind it, why did he use this term? Because he wanted to be misleading. He wanted to hide what he was saying. Like the angel told him twice, the angel told him, I'm explaining to you when the redemption is going to come, but you got to cover it up. The angel told him, keep it hidden. But I'm talking words of wisdom with a person who doesn't understand and doesn't know. And really, a man like him, it's fitting that fools will judge for him what's right and wrong. So then another priest that was there, he said, Re'u ki Geronimus, he was one of those who wrote, he translated the Tanakh to Latin. So he said, the truth is, take a look, Geronimus in his explanation of the Tanakh, Tiresh, he over there explained in Daniel, Yamin bekanim yamei ha'am, that days over here is a reference to days of a nation. It doesn't literally mean days. Samachti bidvarav, so I was happy with what he said. Amalti, I said, Yecholim atem lakir midvarav. You could see from what he's saying, ki ena imim bekan kipshutan b'shal mekomot, that the word days over here is not like it means in other places. V'lachen utzach lehem lasot behem pirush. And that's why Geronimus had to give some explanation, because it doesn't literally mean days. V'ani savur ki imei ha'am she'amar hem shanim. And so once you're going to say it means something other than literally days, I think it means years. Because the nation will say, it's been many days since it happened, and what it means is it's been many years. A long time has passed. So then that man came back and said, their wise men said, a new claim he's saying, their wise men said that Mashiach entered the Garden of Eden. Ve'omer sham ba'agadan, it says over there in the Medrash, Mashiach lama, mibnei sharav, otav, obdei, avdah, zarah, upiresh midarkam, ve'avad lakadosh baruch hu, v'ganzo l'gan Eden. Why is he the anointed one? Because he saw his fathers serving idols, and he separated himself from their ways, and he went to serve God, and so God hid him in the Garden of Eden. So the Medrash over there says, why is Mashiach in the Garden of Eden? Because he left his father's ways, his father's pagan ways, and so Hashem hid him in the Garden of Eden. Belagti alav, so I made fun of him. Ve'amalti, and I said, Zu ra'aya sheli, that's a proof to me. Shu ben ovdei avodah zarah, he's a son to idol worshippers. Ish gamur, a complete human. Ve'chzik lo hakadosh baruch hu tova, and then God, so to speak, held it as a favor on his behalf, as something positive that he did. When he went away from it, the ways of his forefathers, and he didn't serve idols as they did. Could you say this about God himself? He left the ways of his forefathers. Then I took the book he was reading from. And I read before them the Medrash going from the beginning. Vehi omeret, and the Medrash says like this, Ki yudaledem shenichnesu b'gan Eden b'chaim. There are 14 who entered the Garden of Eden alive. Umone b'hem, and among the 14 that are enumerated in that Medrash, there are different Midrashim, they give different numbers. There's an argument among Chazal, what the exact number is, how many people entered the Garden of Eden alive. So that Medrash says there are 14, and it enumerates among them, Serach bas Asher, and Batya bas Paro, and if the reference to Messiah is a reference to Yeshu, who is God in your opinion, he's not with the women in the Garden of Eden. If his job is to be God, his job isn't to be in the Garden of Eden with the women. He must be in the heaven, like God is in the heaven, and the earth is but his stool. Chalila v'chas, God forbid. the pasuk says, Hashem says, "Hashemayim kisi ve'al tzadom raglai." So if Yeshu's job is to be God, then he doesn't belong to the Garden of Eden with other people who walked in alive to the Garden of Eden. Aval shu kedvarai. But rather, the truth is the way I explain shumet began Eden, that Mashiach is standing in the Garden of Eden, ve'vito shel adam harishon kodem shechata, the house of Adam before he sinned. Kizeh da'at hachamim b'sifrei agadah v'zeh mevu'ach. This is the opinion of the rabbis and the midrashim, and now that's clear. So then everyone left. It was the end of the debate for that day. On the fifth day, the king had a disputation in his own chambers. He said, "We'll do it privately now." So we all sat at the entrance to the chambers. ופתח פריפול בדברי הבל, and פריפול began with words of vanity. לא היה להם עניין, pointless things, he doesn't record what he said. ואחר כך אמר, and after he finished saying whatever he said, then he said, אני אביא ראיה מחכם גדול שלהם, I'll bring a proof from a wise man of theirs. לא היה להם כמותו היום 400 שנה. They haven't had his equal, it's been 400 years and they haven't had his equal. ושמו מייסטרי משה דגיפתי. And his name is the great teacher, the great rabbi, Moshe the Gifti. He's talking about the Rambam, Maimonides. So he's going to bring a proof from Maimonides' work about Mashiach. V'hu omer ki haMashiach yamut v'yimloch bno acharav. And he says, this great rabbi who he's quoting, he says that the Mashiach will die and his son will rule after him. V'eino kasher amarta shelo yamut k'derech bnei adam. So then it's not like you claim... he's saying to Nachmanides, it's not like you claim that the Mashiach will not die a human death. So he requested that they bring him Maimonides' work, Sefer Shoftim. So Nachmanides said before them, "En b'sefer ha'ukel." Doesn't say what he's saying in that book. It says it elsewhere. But Nachmanides wasn't about to tell them that. He said, in that book it doesn't say that. But I admit there are rabbis who have that opinion, as I mentioned earlier, that the midrashim are of the opinion that he was born on the day of the destruction and he will live for eternity. But I said all along that there is the opinion of those who learn pshat that he will be born close to the time of redemption. That was Nachmanides' opinion all along. It was Periful who quoted this medrash that he was born in the day of destruction and etc. So Nachmanides said, I agreed with that, what you're quoting to me in the name of the Rambam, but you won't find it in that work. And that the midrashim hold that he was born back in the time of the destruction. And if he's born approximately at the time of redemption, so then he'll live a long time. And he'll pass away in honor. And then he'll give his crown to his son. His son will be king after him. And I already told you that's what I believe. When it comes to this idea of how long a person is going to live, so then there's no difference between this world and the days of the Messiah. The only difference is that the Jews won't be under other kingdoms. So he brought the book he requested, and then he couldn't find where the Rambam says it, because really it's not there. And then I took the book from him and I said, okay, now that you haven't found that in the Rambam, let me use this work. And I said, let me quote to you from the book that he himself brought. And I read to them from the beginning of the chapter where the Rambam describes the halachos of what Mashiach must do. The king, the Messiah, will stand for Israel, build the temple, and gather all the Jews that have been scattered. So the Rambam, the Nachmanides just begins quoting the Rambam. So then one of the priests that were present said, he's lying. Amalti, so the Nachmanides said, "Adena yachacham gadol shein kamo." Until now, you told me he's a wise man that has no equal. Ve'atah umechazev, and now suddenly he's a liar. You wanted to quote from him a minute ago. Now you're calling him a liar. Ve'gaal ba'amelech, and then the king yelled at that priest. Ve'amar en roi levazot rechamim. It's not fit to disgrace wise men. Ve'amar la'melech, and so I said to the king, "Enenu umechazev. He's not lying." I'm willing to prove from the Torah and the prophets שכל מה שאמר הוא אמת, that everything Maimonides said is true, כי המשיח עליו לקבץ נדחי ישראל ונפוצות יהודה 12 שבטים. The Messiah's job is to gather the Jews that have been scattered and the scattering of Yehuda, all 12 tribes. ומשיחכם ישו לא קיבץ מהם איש, and your Messiah ישו, he didn't gather anyone. ולא היה בזמן הגלות, he wasn't even alive at the time the Jews were scattered. והמשיח ישו לבנות בית המקדש בירושלים, and the Messiah, like the Rambam wrote, he must build the temple in Jerusalem. The Yeshu la asabo lo binyan velo arisa. And Yeshu, well, he didn't build and he didn't destroy. Notice that in passing, he's addressing the Christian claim that the whole temple was destroyed because of Yeshu. So in passing, he's just addressing that. He's just saying he didn't build and he didn't destroy. Ve'amashiach yimshol bekol amim. And like the Rambam writes, the Messiah will rule all the nations. Ve'ulo mashal afilu al atzmo. And Yeshu had no control over anyone, including himself. וקראתי להם פרשת והיה כי יבוא עליך כל הדברים האלה הברכה והכללה אשר נתתי לפניך. I quoted to them from the verses in the end of Devarim about the blessings and curses and what will be at the end, what it says in the end of Devarim. וגמר הפרשה עד ונתן השם לוקח את העלות האלה על אויביך ועל שונאיך אשר הדפוך. Till God says, in the end, after you've suffered my people, I'll bring you back and I will place all these curses on your enemy. ופרשתי להם אויביך הנוצרים, and I explained when the pasuk says I'll place it on your enemy and those that hate you, your enemy is the Christians, ושונאיך הישמעאלים, and those that hate you are the ישמעאלים. שתי אומות אשר דפונו, these are the two nations that have been chasing us. ולא ענה דבר, and no one said anything after I finished explaining how that's what it says in the Torah. ועמדו להם, and then they left. So that was the end of the debate for that day. למחר ביום השישי, on the next day, Friday, הלכו מערכות בהיכל וישב המלך במושבו כפעם בפעם אל מושב הקיר בכיסו. They arranged their group, they arranged their front in the king's chamber, and the king sat in his place by the wall on his throne. ושם היה הגמון ושרים רבים, and then he starts enumerating the different nobles and leaders that were there. ג'יליס דיסרגון ופירי ברגה ופרשים רבים and many horsemen בכל מגרשי העיר ומדלת העם. And all the, I don't know what Migrashei Ha'ir are, all kinds of people who are, I guess, important nobles of the city, and also some of the common folk. So it was a packed house. V'amal ha'melech, and so Friday morning, the Ramban says, "En retzoni litvakeach od." I don't want to argue anymore. Amar ha'melech ve'lama. So the king says, "Why?" Amarti, I said, "Hine rav ha'kahal bekan." There are a lot of people here. וכולם מנעוני וחלו פניי על זה. And a lot of them, they all came and told me, don't do it, and they begged me. כי הם יראים מאוד מהאנשים האלה הדורשים. They're very scared of these people here and the way they derive things. שמטילים אימה על העולם. They scare everyone. וגם כי גדולי הגלחים הנכבדים בהם שלחו לי למור שלא עשה כנות. And also the greatest priests and the most honorable among them sent word to me that I shouldn't continue doing this. וגם פרשים רבים מבני ביתך, and also some of your great soldiers, your great knights, אדוני המלך, my master, the king, אמרו לי כי אני עושה רעה לדבר בפניהם כנגד אמונתם. That I'm doing them harm to speak before them against their faith. גם פרי פירה דיגינובה, חכם הצעירים, also this priest who's in charge of the young priests, אמר לי שאין הדבר טוב. He also told me, well, this isn't good what's going on here. גם מגרשי העיר אמרו לי קצת היהודים שלא יעשה כן, and also the nobles, they told some of the Jews that I shouldn't be doing this. ואומנם כי כן היה, and even though this is the way it was, and from the start, I got word not to do this, not to enter the disputation. אבל בירותם רצון המלך גמגמו כולם ואמרו שיעשה כן. But when everyone saw that you, the king, you wanted this debate, so everyone started stuttering, and then they all said, okay, go do it. ואחר הדברים בינינו על זה, and after וערכו הדברים בינינו על זה, and we've spoken at length here, בסוף דבר אמרתי שאתווכח, and then after I had these long conversations with them, whether to do it or not to do it, and then I said, okay, I'll enter the disputation. אבל הדין נותן שישאל אני יום אחד, ופרי פול יענה אותי. But fairness dictates that I should have at least one day to ask my questions and let him answer me. הואיל ושאל לי ואני עניתי גמל ימים. He's been questioning me, and for 3 days now I've been answering him. אמר המלך, the king said, על כל פנים ענה אתה אותו. Nonetheless, you keep answering. V'odeti, so I agreed, what was he supposed to do? Hamad v'shal, so Peripul gets up and asks, HaMashiach shedibu ba'anvim, ata ma'amin sheyeh ish gamur ve'elo ha'mamash, the Messiah that the prophets spoke about. Do you believe that he will be a complete human and completely God? And truthfully God. Amarti, I said, Hinei mitchila etnenu shendaber tchila ala Mashiach imba kmo she'atem umrim. We made a condition in the beginning that the first point we'll talk about the Messiah is whether he came the way you claim that he already came. And only afterwards will we discuss whether he is God himself. And you haven't yet proven that he's come. Because I disproved all the ridiculous proofs you brought. And so I've won my case. You still have to bring a proof. And this is what you agreed at the onset of our disputation. And if you don't agree that I've been victorious in this argument, I accept upon myself to bring complete proofs that the Messiah has not yet come, if you're only willing to listen. And once it's been proven that your Yeshu is not the Messiah, so there's no reason we should argue about the Messiah that's still coming to us. If he's completely human or whatever he'll be. So the wise judges who were there, they said, they agreed that I'm right. That if they haven't proven that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Messiah has come yet, and so far I stand with my proofs that he has not yet come, so then I don't have to discuss with them what's yet to be according to my faith. Amali Amelech, and then the king said, okay, they say you're right. Nonetheless, I want to hear your answer. What do you believe? What's the Messiah going to be? Amalti, I said, Be'emet, in truth, HaMashiach yavo v'yeish gamu. The Messiah will come, and he will be completely human. Ben ish v'isha, a son of a man and a woman, mezivug shneim kamoni, from them to being united, just as I was formed. David and he will have a genealogy that goes back to David and his seed, as the verse says, a branch will come out from the trunk of Jesse of Yishai. And the verse says, it says in the end of Bereishis, in Yaakov's prophecy, that Yehuda will rule till the time of Shiloh. And what is Shiloh? Vehu bno. Shiloh is a reference to a son, Milashon Shilya, from the word Shilya, which is the placenta. It says, till the placenta comes, till the placenta, that's a reference to the baby being born. Kinolat kishav ne'adam b'shilya, for the Messiah will be born like every other human being with the placenta. Ve'ilu haya ruach Elohim kedivrechem, and if he is really the Spirit of God, the way you claim, lo yiyeh migeza Yishai, you can't say he's from the trunk of Yishai. And even if, like you say, he had a period where he rested in a woman's stomach, and that woman was a descendant from King David, he still has no right to inherit the throne. Because in Torah law, daughters don't inherit their fathers. Wherever there's another boy, that's not the way inheritance works. V'David, banim scharim ayu lo leolam, and King David had sons who had sons who had sons down to the Mashiach, who's going to be a direct descendant. Amar, so then he said, Hine ha-mizmor omer mizmor leDavid. The verse says a song for King David. In Tehillim Kuf Yod, the pasuk says like this.
They don't claim that he. They
don't
claim that he is a descendant of
David. I don't think they claim he's a descendant of anyone. So it seems to be a song to David. So says God, to my master, sit to my right. So they claim that's a proof. ומי הוא זה שיאמר לו דוד המלך אדוני? Who is it that King David refers to as אדוני, my master? ואילו היה לי בן, so I'm sorry, I skipped paragraph. ומי הוא זה שיאמר לו דוד המלך אדוני מלבד האלוקה? And who is it that King David refers to as my master? ואיך יישב אדם על ימין הקל? The verse says, sit to my right. How could a human being sit to the right of God? אמר המלך, יפה הוא שואל. The king said, that's a good question, he's asking you. שאילו היה משיח איש גמור מזר דוד ממש, if the Messiah were completely human, a descendant, a seed of David, literally, לא יאמר לו דוד אדוני, King David wouldn't be talking to his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson as my master. ואילו היה לו לי בן או נכד מזרי, if I had a son or a grandson from my seed, אפילו אם שול בכל העולם, even if he ruled the whole world, לא אמר לו אדוני, no way I'm calling my grandson my master. אבל ארצה שיאמר לי הוא אדוני, but I would want him to talk to me and call me master. I'm his grandfather. וגם שינשק את ידי, I'd want him to kiss my hands. I don't care how big he is. If he's my grandson, he should have respect for me. So if King David is talking to the Messiah, how come he calls him my master if it's his own grandson? Hafachti panai leperi pul v'amarti. So I turned my face to Peri Pul, and I said, he's careful out of respect to the king. He's not going to answer the king. Ha'ata yehudi ha'chacham shematzata ha'chidush hazeh? Are you the wise Jew who found this new thought? ונשתמדת בעבורו, and because of this you left the faith? ואתה הוא אומר למלך לאסוף לו חכמי היהודים להתווכח עמהם על החידושים שמצאת? You're the one that told the king to gather the wise men of the Jews to argue with them because you found new questions. This is a new point you found. וכי לא שמענו דבר זה עד הנה? Have we never heard this before? ולא אין גלח ותינוק שלא הקשה ליהודים זאת הקושיה. There's no priest or child that doesn't taunt the Jews and say this as a question. והשאלה הזאת מיושנת מאוד. This is a very old question. אמר המלך אבל ענה עליה. So the king said, okay, but still, answer. אמרתי, so I said, ואתה שמעוני, now hear me. הנה דוד המלך הוא היה משורר שעשה מזמורים ברוח הקודש. King David made the songs with Hashem's Holy Spirit upon him. ועשה אותם כדי שיזמרו בהם לפני מזבח השם. He prepared the songs so that people sing them before the altar of God. והוא עצמו לא היה משורר אותם, and he himself could not sing them in the temple. ולא רשאי לעשות כן, he's not permitted to do that, he's not a Levi, he's not a Levite, שאסור לו בדין תורה, the Torah prohibits non-Levites from singing in the temple. אבל היה נותן המזמורים ללוויים שישוררו בהם. He prepared these songs for the Levites to sing. וכן כתוב מפורש בדברי הימים. That's what it says explicitly in Chronicles. אם כן על כוחו היה עושה המזמור בלשון שהיה ראוי ללוי שומר. So he wrote these songs the way a Levite would say them. ואילו אמר נאום השם לי, if he would say, so said God to me, היה אומר הלוי שקר, then the Levite would be lying. God didn't speak to him. אבל ראוי ללוי שומר בהיכל. But if the Levite is talking in the temple, so then it's fitting that he should say, Ne'um Hashem l'Adoni, so said God to my master. Who's talking? The Levite is talking. Who is his master? Who is his king? David. So being that these songs were composed for the Levim, so the songs speak about King David in third person. Not that David is talking about the Messiah or something else, but rather the whole song is written as something that they'll say in the temple. So the Levi says, Ne'um Hashem, so said Hashem, Ladoni, to my master, to whose master? To the Levite's master, Le David. And what did God tell him? Shev li mini, come sit to my right. So you said, how could a human being sit to God's right? V'tam ha'yishiva, what does it mean to sit? Lomar she'akadosh baruch hu yagen alav b'yamav. The idea is that God will protect him in his days, ויצילהו, and save him, ויגביר אותו על אויביו, and allow him to be victorious against his enemies. וכן היה, and that's what really was. כי הוא עורר חניתו 800 חלל בפעם אחת. דוד המלך, with one swing of the sword, could knock down, kill 800 people. היש בפרשים האלה אשר לפניך שיעשה כן בגבורתו? Can one of these knights do that with their great might? וזהו ימין הקל, that's God's strength that's in his right hand. V'chen katuv b'David b'mincha tisadeni. That's what David says to God. It's your right, it's your strength that supports me. V'chen, and so too we find, the verse says, Yamin Hashem osachayil, Yamin Hashem romima. God's right hand gives strength, God's right hand uplifts. So you see that the right, when we talk about God, isn't a question of the side, left or right. It's a question of strength. Here it means, God says to David, you sit on my right, meaning I will guard you, I will give you strength. Bekatub b'Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom, it says about Moshe, molich limin Moshe, zruat tifoto, God guides Moshe with the right, the arm of his glory. V'hu amar b'mapelet paro, and when it comes to Paro's downfall, it says, yimincha Hashem tirat soyev, God, your right hand destroyed the enemy. You find many verses that speak this way, where a person speaks about himself in third person. That's not a question. Shmuel, when he's talking to the Jewish people, he says, God sent you great leaders, that Yiftach ve'et Shmuel. He sent you Yiftach and Shmuel. He's the one talking. He doesn't say, and me. Lemech, when he's talking to his wife, says, Ada v'tzila shema'an koli. Neshei Lemech, wives of Lemech, ha'azene imrati. He doesn't say, Nashai, my wives. You find that people talk in the Tanakh, third person, about themselves. And look throughout the Torah. Moshe doesn't say, V'yedaber Hashem Elai Lemor, until you hit the book of Devarim. But over here, he really had no choice. He worded it the way the Levim could say it in the temple. You have to know that these songs were written with God's inspiration, what we call Ruach HaKodesh. And they refer to David and his son who will sit on his throne, Bua Mashiach, and that's the Messiah. Just as by David he had God's support on a low flame, so to speak, his son, the Messiah, will have it in an all-encompassing way. Ki yemino shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu yisadenu leDavid ad sheyigbar al oyvav svivav. God's right hand supported King David, so he overcame the enemies around him. V'yaseyenu laMashiach ad sheyasim kol haumot adom raglav shekulam oyvav. And it will assist the Mashiach till he puts down all the nations. They will all be subservient to him because they'll all be his enemies. Ki shibdu ba'amo, for they put his nation into forced servitude. V'chafru b'viyato, and they deny his coming. And here he's sticking in a point against them without saying it overtly. Uvimalchutoim, they deny his kingship. Umiktzatam asu Mashiach acher, and some of them even appointed a different Messiah. Again, he's sticking it in without saying it overtly. V'inei ra'ui l'shorer ha'mizmor hazeh b'mikdash b'imei David uv'imei ha'mashiach b'no. And this is a fitting song to sing in the temple in the days of David and in the days of the Messiah, his son. For this song is said about the throne of David and about his kingship. And I think we'll have to pause here. And although we only have one page to go, we'll finish next time.